being there, the work of the Holy Spirit. And tonight, I want you to go back. I want you to first go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. That's where we're going to be at tonight. But I'm curious tonight about something that Philip did, and Paul did, and I want to also do in my life. As I pastor a church or I preach, thus saith the Word of God, I want to do the same things as Philip did. I want to do the same things as Paul did. I want to do the same things as Jesus Christ did in my life. That's what I want to be. I want to be able to look to them men, but most of all, look to Jesus Christ. And I'm curious about something. We preached this morning that the Spirit of God gives you that desire to be saved. Amen? He gives you that desire. He gives you that draw. And He is pleading for a decision to be made, that you make that decision to follow Christ Jesus. Man, I don't know about you, but that's the greatest decision I ever made in my life. This morning, the Holy Ghost sat down amongst us. Brother Eric seen the Holy Ghost when he sat down. Sister Kayla seen it. I seen it when she seen him pass through here. I seen her light up over there, and she knew exactly. And I thank God for that. Amen? I went to association meeting and started telling them what happened this morning, what the Lord had did. And I want to make sure y'all on the same page with me now. I'll make sure I ain't losing nobody. Amen? Hey, the Spirit was in here, okay? Don't let me lose nobody right here. He was in here. Amen? Because I'm curious about this right here. Acts chapter number 8, verse number 35. Here's where I want to start at tonight. I want to preach on the gospel tonight. Acts, if you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Acts chapter number 8, and we're going to read verse number 35. And then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians tonight, and I want to read 15, 1 through 4. The Bible says, in Acts chapter, opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. Now we know the same scripture here is going to be in the book of Isaiah 53, the gospel. He's just Old Testament gospel telling about Jesus, him coming, how he took our sin, the Old Testament gospel. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Let's look at this together. You're already there. 1 Corinthians 15, 1. The preaching of the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I've delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight, I thank you so much for the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to the lost man. He thinks what we preach and what we say in these scriptures is foolish. But we know that you, Father, through the preaching of the gospel, will save souls. Father, we know that. Father God, we've experienced that in our own life. The gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, tonight I'm curious that Philip preached the gospel. Paul preached the gospel. Jesus is the gospel. Lord God, I thank you for that tonight. And I just want to look at the gospel tonight. I want to look at it according to the scriptures tonight. Lord, I do know tonight, Father God, is a very popular night in the world that we live in. Father, tonight it is the Super Bowl tonight. Lord God, there is people watching that tonight. There is people playing in that tonight. But there's a bigger game going on than that tonight. And that game is the game of life that we're in. And Lord God, there's a Super Bowl for our souls, Lord God. Lord God, there's a competing going on for our souls in the life that we live in. Satan, he's wanting to sift us as wheat. But Father God, you've prayed for us, and I thank you for that. I thank you for the ones that was able to come tonight. I thank you for the ones that wasn't able to come. I pray you bless them both in the same way. Father, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for Calvary. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Bless these next few moments. Have your will and way, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. And we ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. The preaching of the gospel. I'm curious this afternoon how that Philip, when he came after Stephen there preaching the gospel, that he preached the same scripture there in the book of Isaiah, and he preached that word of God. And then he preached, if we come here, Paul, he preached the same word to the church at Corinth. But tonight I want you to get this. When Paul wrote, or under the divine will of God, as he wrote this and he penned this down, Paul wrote to the brethren at Corinth many things. If you go through the book of Corinthians, we see he wrote down and he penned down the preaching of the cross. He wrote down that our body is a temple which the Holy Ghost lives in. He even taught about proper worship. He taught about the Lord's Supper. He taught about how we should examine ourselves. He taught about love. He taught about put away childish things. But in chapter 15, as we get here and he comes to this end, in chapter 15, beginning in verse 16, we see that in that chapter he spoke about the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in chapter number 15. And the gospel must be preached. Can I say that again? The gospel must be preached in every local body church. It must be preached everywhere we go. If we get away from the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there'll be no power in the local body church. We gain our power from that gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we get over that and we get to the place where it doesn't move us and it doesn't do things in our life, we've lost it all. We've lost what we need to stand dear to tonight. Hey, I understand tonight the church covenant, it is important. I understand tonight that the bylaws of the church, it is important. But we should never put nothing above the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He came and that He died and He bled and He rose again the third day. And you say, preacher, why must we preach the gospel? Because the gospel will reveal some things in the Bible tonight. When you preach that old blessed book and you preach that gospel, I don't know about you, but there's something about the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All the gospel is good news to a sinner that he can be saved. It doesn't matter who he is, where he's been, or what he's ever done. He can be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. He come and died for whosoever will. Let him come to the Lord. And this afternoon I want to show you in verse number 3, and I want to get this in what God has called us to do. Look in verse number 3. Number 1, we look at the death. And this afternoon, we look at the blood of Jesus Christ. In verse number 3, it said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Friends, this afternoon, you must not only know about the gospel, but you must receive it. Hey, you must receive that blessed gospel in your life. He says this, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture." When we preach that gospel, we preach the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ died. He shed His blood for our sins. Can I get an amen? Hey, this same scripture I'm talking about, it is the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away the sin of all mankind. When you call on the name of Jesus, past, present, and future, when you apply that blood and you allow Him to wash you in His blood, I want you to know your sins have been forgiven. You've been washed clean. You've been made new. I don't know about you, but that puts me on shout. Mountain ground. When I get thinking about the blood of Jesus Christ, I get thinking about that crimson blood that flows through my veins in the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that excites me. And if you'll look with me in Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 28, hey, tonight I know there's a Super Bowl going on, and I know there's some people can get excited, but I want you to know, woo, there's nothing excites me like the blood of Jesus. I get listening to them old songs. Hey, these new hymns, these new songs, you beware of them. Hey, you don't hear much about the blood. You get to the old stuff, and I want you to know he talks about the blood of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter number 20, and if you'll look with me in verse number 28, here's what they said in the book of Acts, talking about the blood of Jesus, his death on that old rugged cross. I want you to get this. He said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God." What do we feed them? We feed them that blessed book. We feed them the gospel. We feed them about His blood tonight. I pray when anybody walks in this place that they hear that we have a bloody gospel. Amen. I pray they know we believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. Friends, I want you to know, I thank God that baptism's in the Bible. And I thank God we do baptisms at this church. I thank God that there is the Lord's Supper. Can I get an amen? And I thank God that we partake of the Lord's Supper. suffer. Hey, but I thank God that the blood's here. Amen. And it's been applied to my life. He says in verse 28, oh, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. He said, preacher, what purchased me? What saved me? The blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, I thank God for that this afternoon. When I look into the Scripture and I see this afternoon that he preached the same Scripture to the Ethiopian eunuch, I understand that he preached to him the blood of Jesus Christ. When he went back to Isaiah 53, he preached on the blood, Brother J.D., for this lost and dying generation, for every church member ever will be. If we ever get to the place where we can get over the blood, hey, we're in a bad shape. Hey, we're in a dark place. Hey, we're in a desperate place. This afternoon, as your pastor, don't you ever get over the blood. Don't you get over the fact that you've been washed in the blood of Jesus. One sin, I believe, besets the church as we get to the place and we get caught up in our own righteousness and we forget about the blood of Jesus. It's not nothing I've done. It's about nothing where I've been, but it's about the blood of Jesus Christ. And he says this, that he purchased us with his own blood. Amen. All this afternoon, I see in verse number 3, the death, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. I see in verse number 3, first off, I see the death, the blood of Jesus. I don't know about you, but that excites me, knowing somebody died for me. But number 2, according to the Scripture. Tonight, you know how I know it's true? Because it's according to the Scripture. It's according to the Word of God this afternoon. If there's anything in this Bible I don't believe the whole Bible. I can't say, well, there's a little bit here I don't believe. If there's one piece I don't believe the whole Bible. I've got to believe it all from Genesis to Revelation. I've got to take the whole account of this text. I've got to take every bit of this. And number 1, tonight we see the blood of Jesus Christ and his death, that gospel that he preaches. Let me give you this, not only that, but it's according to Scripture. I don't only see when the gospel is preached and it's preached through the Bible. I see, number 1, the blood of Jesus Christ. But number 2, I see the Bible of Jesus Christ. I see his word all over this place. Look what he says here, according to the Scriptures. Can I say to you this afternoon that the Scriptures are inspired, infallible, inexhaustible. You can't preach them out. You can't run them out. You can't stomp them out. You can't burn them out. These Scriptures, I want you to know, when they get down in that heart and they get right way down in there, Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Friends, I want you to know, if you're walking in a dark place and you say, preacher, I don't know what to do and I don't know where to go, I find myself caught up in all kind of things of this world, put you Scripture in your life. Put that Scripture in your life. Write it up on your heart. Put it on the table of your heart. Put that book in your life. I want you to know it's inexhaustible. You can't exhaust it. You can't wear it out. You can't overdo it this afternoon. The Bible and the Scripture this afternoon is what we got, and it is our hope by the blood of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16. I want to show you this afternoon. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16, if you will. Man, I love this about the Scriptures this afternoon. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16, I see the preaching of the Gospels when he stayed with them same Scriptures. We see the blood of Jesus Christ, but we see the Bible. It's all in the Bible. Look what he says. 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, all Scripture, not some of the Scripture, not part of the Scripture, but all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. He breathed on these pages. He breathed it out. It's by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. This afternoon, when I take this old blessed book and I read it and I study it and I apply it to my life, I want you to know it doesn't burden me. It blesses me. Amen? It doesn't burden me. If you're in here and you're saved and this book is a burden to you, get to reading it more. Amen? Hey, get in love with that book. Hey, you know what tomorrow is? Next day is Valentine's 14th. Amen. Next, it's Valentine's. And you know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to spending some of that day with my sweetheart. Huh? But if that was the only day I spent time with her, man, how miserable would I be? But you know what? I've spent so much time with her, I know her handwriting. She signs my signature a pretty good bit. You wouldn't know it's forged. But I can tell it. But because why? Because I know her. I know her. I know what she pins down. I know a lot about her. But more than I know about her, I know her. I have a relationship with her. If you want your, listen to me, You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That gospel teaches me I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures. This afternoon, if you want to tell Satan to get away from you and to flee, get away from you, get out of your life, and you don't rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ, you get in this book. You stay in this book. You stay in this Word. And there's Scriptures in this book that's going to help you, every single one of them. And you need to apply them to your life according to the Scriptures this afternoon. And I see what he says here, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I see that this afternoon. That's the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, is the Bible of Jesus Christ. So when I preach the gospel and you preach the gospel and you tell people about Jesus Christ, number one, we're telling them about the death, the blood of Jesus Christ. Number two, we see in the text here in 1 Corinthians 15, we talk about the Scripture, according to the Scripture. But number three, let's look in verse 4. When you talk about the preaching of the gospel, you're going to talk about the blood. You can't help it. You're going to talk about the Bible. The Bible tells me so. How do you know? Because the Bible tells me so. But in verse number 4, I see you're going to be talking about the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. Look in verse number 4. And that he was buried. That's the body. And he, that body, him, Christ Jesus was buried. Romans 6:4, turn with me here. We're talking about the burial. We got the death. We got according to the Scriptures. But look at the body of Jesus Christ, the burial. Romans 6:4. Man, I love this so much. Romans 6:4, talking about that burial of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That he was the body of Jesus Christ. Look at this with me tonight. Romans 6:4, the Bible says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, that's you and me, even so we also should walk in the newness of life, according to the gospel. When he comes inside of you, he saves you. The blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your life. You've been saved. You know what it is to be saved. You're reading them Scriptures, and you know about the body. You know what you've done. You know what Christ has done on the cross. And you say, this ain't me. This is him living inside of me. I want you to know there's a newness that comes in your life. There's a new walk. There's a new talk. There's a new action. There's all kinds of things new come inside of you. And as you do that and you start walking that life, I want you to know it gets so dear to your life. It gets so dear to your life. It gets right there where you need it to be. And as he said that this afternoon, the body of Jesus Christ, it was buried. It was buried. It was buried in that tomb. And on that third day, that glorious day, he arose again. He came forth out of that grave. Friends, I want you to know, just as he was buried, there was a day in my life when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. This old man died and a new man come forth. I didn't get remade or any of them things. Don't get caught up in it. I didn't get restored. Nothing else. And when I look at that scripture, it lets me know it's the blood that did it. Oh man, and when I think about his body, how his body was beaten and bruised for me and hung on that old rugged cross and pierced in his side, spit on his face, and it was all for me. I want to walk in a new white life. I want to walk new. I don't want to put his name in the mud. I don't want to drag it through the mud. I want to walk new. I want to walk in a new way. We're just teaching tonight, amen. We're just getting real with it. I want to walk in a new way. I want to walk in a fashion that's honoring and pleasing and glorifying to Jesus Christ. I'll be doing a revival in a couple weeks, and this guy told me, here's what he told me. He said, hey, listen, I don't know what you wear when you preach. I don't know what you wear when you preach when you come in, but I want you to know something. When you come and you preach the revival, you don't have to wear a suit. You can wear what you want to, do what you want to. I said, I thank you for that, but I'm going to respect the office that I have behind that sacred desk. And I said, by the way, what kind of book do you use? And he said, sir, what are you talking about? I said, what kind of old blessed book do you use? Do you use the King James Bible? Hey, do you use that Bible that tells me that he's come to seek and to save that which was lost? Do you use that blessed old book? Do you use that book that tells me that the blood of Jesus is what saves me from my sin? Do you use that book that says, for whosoever will, let him come, let him come? Do you use that blessed old book? And he said, well, we use the King James. That's why I just wonder if you use that book. Folks, this afternoon I'm trying to tell you that gospel is going to make a difference in your life. What you read, what you do, where you go, how you talk, according to the Scriptures, is how you're going to walk in that life. So according to that body and what he does, you walk in that life the way he's called you to walk. You do what he's called you to do. You get right where he'd have you to be. This morning, man, the Holy Ghost sat down in here. Son, I'm telling you, he sat down in here. He sat down in here. They were going every which way. You ever kicked an ain't bed? You kick a dead ain't bed, ain't nothing coming out, Brother Gary. Ain't nothing coming out. You kick it, ain't nothing coming out. But you take one, you kick the top off a live one, they start scattering everywhere. Son, I thought, what in the world's going on? The only thing I know what to do is say, what can wash away? That's all. Where'd you go, preacher? I just went to the blood. When you don't know what to do, go to the blood. Brother Tim Markham, man, he was a dear friend of mine. He told me this one time. He said, when you don't know what to preach on, just preach on the blood. And he said, when you do know what to preach on, just preach on the blood. When you don't know what to stand on the blood. And when you do know what to stand on, just stand on the blood. This afternoon, I want to show you this in the text as we march on here. Here's what he says tonight. I see in this that even Philip was preaching this to that Ethiopian eunuch. And then we see that Paul's preaching it to the church at Corinth. And I'm preaching it to you today. He says the blood of Jesus Christ, we see the death. That's the blood. We see that the Bible of Jesus Christ, according to the scriptures, we see the Bible. Man, we see the Bible. Don't that do something for you? Man. And we see the body of Jesus Christ in verse number 4. And that he was buried and that he arose again the third day according to what? According to the scriptures. According to the Bible. Well, I don't really believe Jesus rose again. It don't matter what I believe. Somebody tries to argue it, don't matter what they believe. Because according to the scriptures, he rose again. Amen? You see, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Your opinion and my opinion won't do a bit of good. Ever, I don't know how many people's in here. There's over 10. We went to Sullivan. Brother Garrett, I heard that. I caught you saying that. And here he's fixing to graduate at Sullivan. You see what you're talking about, preacher? Listen to me. It's according to the scripture. There's so many opinions in the world we live in, they've got away from the book. They got away from the book. And when they don't like what the book says, you know what they'll do? They'll Google till they find what they like. To where it fits their life the way they like it. And then they'll get the answer they like and they think it's solid and it's worth standing on. Folks, if it's in this blessed book, you take it and you run with it. Because it's true. I see not only the body of the Christ in the burial. Let me give you this. When he was referencing in Isaiah 53, here's what he referenced to. That body, what did it do? It took our stripes. Every stripe I deserved, every stripe you deserved, he took it. That body took our sin. Upon him, he took our sin. That body took our shame. Whew. That body took our death sentence. And that body took our separation from God. He separated himself from God so we wouldn't have to be. But I want to share this with you at the end here, and I just want to bring it on down. And not only I see that body, but in verse number 4, I see the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How he arose again on that third day. Look what he says. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So, preacher, how did he raise again on the third day? Through the power of his resurrection, he arose. How am I going to raise it? By the power of his resurrection. Not by mine, not by yours, but by his power. By his power. By the promise of his resurrection according to the scripture. And say, preacher, how? By the proof of the resurrection. Look what he says here in verse number 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once. There's proof of that resurrection. Tonight I want to ask you a question. Is there proof of a resurrection in your life? Is there proof of a resurrection in your life? Can you say, as they said in Ephesians 2, as the writer said in Ephesians 2, that I was dead in my trespasses and sins, but now I'm not. No longer am I that way, but now I've been rose again. There's been a resurrection in my life. There's been a change in my life. Sister Dana, if you will, you and Brother Jared, the worms are gone. Had that apple this morning with them worms in there. That old decay, deadness is gone. I'm alive and I'm well. According to the gospel, according to his blood, the Bible tells me that his body took what I should have had. And by his resurrection, I can live a life Folks, I don't know about you, but the best days are yet to come in my life. I don't know how many more I got left here, but I do know this. I do know this. I got more over yonder than I got here. I do. And all he was trying to tell these boys here, he said, man, look here, you ain't seen the best. Church family, listen to me as your pastor, you ain't seen the best. I told JD this morning, Brother JD, I'm sorry for calling you JD. That's Brother JD. I reverence you, your brother. You're my brother. Sorry about that. Brother JD this morning, I told him when he was walking up through here, I said, it's fixing to break loose at this church. How do you know that, preacher? According to the scriptures. According to the Bible. When you and I get in unity, there's no division. We're all in one accord. We're all loving one another and doing what God's called us to do. And we're preaching the gospel. He's going to bless. He's going to step out on it. You get a little division. You get a little chaos inside the church. You listen to me. That altar will stop up just as quick as you've ever seen in your life. You can reach up there and cut a faucet off and it won't be nothing pouring out. It'll be dry as you've ever seen. But you get a group of believers of this size especially. Can I get amen, Brother Bradley? He's a preacher. He's sitting back there. He'll tell you. You get a congregation this side and get everybody in unity and one accord, the Lord's in every bit of it. This place ought to be split right down the middle. But God, there's no big I's and there's no big I's, no little U's, no none of that. We're all on one thing. And what's that? Jesus. We're about His blood. We're about the Scripture. We're about His body. And we're about His resurrection. When I got saved, I didn't know nothing. 15 years, I still don't know nothing. But I do know one thing. There's been a change. There's been a change. And how I know I could expect a change? According to the Scriptures. They told me that when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that old man would die. According to the Scriptures. And a new man would come on the scene. And he'd live inside of me. And he'd love me. He'd lead me. He'd guide me. He'd search me. He'd try me. And he'd do everything I needed him to do in my life. All I had to do to be happy in Jesus was just to trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Church, we're fixing to gather around this room tonight and we're going to pray. And my prayer every week that I get in my office and I pray, here's my prayer. Here's my prayer. Lord, keep us in unity. Lord, keep us in one accord. Keep us in unity. Keep us right where you'd have us to be. Why? Because that's a key part. That is a key part. Jesus was in unity with the Father. He was in one with the Father. He did exactly what the Father wanted him to do. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in unity with the Father and do exactly what He's called me to do. This afternoon I asked you a question. Is there any proof in your life that there's been a resurrection? That there's been a change in your life? Man, He'll set fire down inside of you, I'm telling you, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. I thank God for confirmation too, don't you? I thank God for that confirmation. As we walked through Walmart yesterday and there's that little old sign, that little note stuck in that little toy. A lot of people don't believe in signs no more. Don't believe in miracles. I'm glad I do. I'm glad He gives me what I need when I need it. He laid it right out there in front of you. And I'm glad He's still in the miracle business. If you don't think He's in the miracle business, just look around you. John 15:5 says, I can do nothing without Him. Not some things, but I can't do nothing without the gospel. Let us pray. Father, I love You and I thank You for this night. I thank You for the blessings of life. I thank You tonight that Father, Philip, he preached that gospel. He preached that scripture to that eunuch. Lord God, Paul, when You sent him on the scene, he preached that scripture. Lord God, tonight as a local body church, we got to preach that blessed gospel that people can be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And how do we know it's the blood? Because the scripture tells us. Because the body's what took it. Took what we deserved. And He laid it to rest in that tomb. And on that third day, He came forth. Death couldn't hold Him. And Lord, as a born-again child of God, death can't hold us. Father, whoever I'm talking to that needs encouragement, we're on the winning side. Ain't no losing on this side. Man, we got the good news, the gospel, Father. Lord, I pray we take it out to a lost and dying world. I pray for every person under the sound of my voice in this room, Father, I'm asking you to put somebody in our path this week that we can share that gospel with. I'm talking about where we can just share it and it be so clear. And we got to wonder if that's the person we're supposed to share it with because you put them right in our path. And Lord, my family members that I don't share it with the way I should, put somebody in their path. Lord, it never matters if I reach them. All that matters is that you reach them. Save my family. In Jesus' holy, precious name, all of God's people said, I ask you.